With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, it is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. We are thrilled to bring you people in the center ring, nationally, locally, wherever, with this great work by Dan, of course. And we have with us the director of the CDC, Dr. Robert Redfield, joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, doctor, welcome to Philadelphia. How often do you get introduced as Dr. Robert Redford?
Not so much lately, but when I was younger.
Well, doctor, thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for the great work you guys are doing. It's exhaustive, I could tell, just looking from the side. Question I had at this point, there's a lot of back and forth over the mortality rate of the virus and how that then will play into some kind of formula or making decisions, you know, that are tough, tough decisions for the president and everyone else. Can you tell us, do you feel confident that you have a pretty good sense, and I know it changes as we test more people?
I think we have, it varies in different countries because of what you said, the denominator. So, you know, countries that are only looking at sick individuals in the hospital obviously have a higher mortality rate, as we're seeing in Italy. Right now in the United States, the mortality is approximately 1.4%. Now, that differs on, different age groups. And obviously, the real driver is individuals with other significant underlying medical conditions or the elderly. But we anticipate, as we get a broader view of the individuals that are asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic, that mortality rate will continue to drop.
What is the mortality rate of the flu? What's the number there? Do we know that?
So the flu is about 0.1%. And right now, this is a little more than 10 times that. Although, as I said, I think when it's all flushed out, we think that the mortality rate will probably be more in the 0.4, 0.5, 0.6, 0.7%. But we'll have to see. There are some countries where the mortality rate, for example, is 0.5%, 0.6%. It has to do with what portion of the population at greater risk for poor outcomes are in the pool. So I think it's probably going to end up five times flu. Right now it's a little more than 10 times flu.
Wow. So that's still quite a number more than the flu when we hear that comparison. Do we know, I was asked this question, doctor wanted me to ask this, why some exhibit mild symptoms or no symptoms and others immediately? Let's say if they don't have the underlying medical condition, or say they're over 75, 80 or whatever, is there anything that you have found out during this that, I know in these news conferences you just get peppered, people sometimes are hostile. I'm asking just so that we know what we've learned so far. Tell us whatever you've learned.
Yeah, I think we really don't know what drives an individual to be asymptomatic versus minimally symptomatic versus requiring hospitalization and O2 support. The one thing that is clear that's a risk factor is, being elderly.
Yes.
And obviously if you have other underlying medical conditions. But we really don't know that yet. Is it the infectious dose you got? I think one thing we're pretty sure of is that this virus, it's not a different virus. It's more the different way the individual infected with the virus responds.
All right. Doctor, the question that's out there, I'm not sure, I haven't seen you ask this. I know Dr. Fauci has been asked it. And again, to me, it's not a gotcha question. I just want to know, as a layman who has a lot of doctor guests and friends that we have on that I admire and I pick their brain, if you sadly contracted this, or if you had a patient with the virus, would you be looking at these drugs that have been around forever? I'll call them malaria quinine base. I know there's all kinds of packages and all that. And I wanted to ask, are you optimistic, maybe even excited, that we're starting? I've heard good stories of a number of things may be working here, even though we haven't had a massive study yet.
You know, I came up my early medical career. When I first got out, I ran right into the face of the HIV epidemic.
Ah.
And I cared for hundreds and hundreds of young men and women that, no matter what I did, unfortunately, most of them in the early years, they died. As we began to try to understand how could we confront this in a way that there'd be a better outcome, many of us, including myself, used off-label drugs, drugs that were approved for another reason off-label, trying to see if we could find a way to improve the outcome. So first, the idea of using drugs approved for another indication, for an off-label indication, is something that we as doctors do quite frequently. And I think doctors now have the potential tools. CDC did publish the state of knowledge of hydroxychloroquine and remdesivir on our website. So doctors at least understood the state of knowledge. They're going to make an independent decision based on the patient they have in front of them, whether they think this is something that they want to try to improve the patient's outcome. And I think that's kind of where it is. It's not something I would discourage. It's not something I would also necessarily recommend. I know as a physician, if I was now back practicing medicine and I had patients that were developing significant symptomatology from this virus, I think I would be confident to try one of these hydroxychloroquine, for example, with informed consent,
yes,
the patient knowing that I don't really know if this works or not. It does appear to be safe. We have over 50, 60, 70 years of safety experience. So I think you're going to see physicians do that. I will say, more importantly, though, that I'm very excited about the private sector developing important therapeutics. Remdesivir is another drug that's out there soon to hopefully be on expanded access for the more critically ill individuals. There's companies now, Regeneron in particular, but there's a number of companies that are developing therapies. They were able to help us with the Ebola outbreak in Africa and sort of develop antibodies that we could then you could give those antibodies to patients, and it markedly improved their clinical outcome. I know they're working hard to do the same. So I do suspect in the next months to 6 months, we're going to see actually some proven therapeutic countermeasures. And, hopefully the data will be collected in a systematic way of those doctors that use hydroxychloroquine. So we'll be able to have more definitive answers of whether there's evidence that this has benefit or whether there's not evidence of the benefit. I think the next 3 to 4 or 5 months will tell that.
Doctor, that's why it troubles me, again, as a layman, though, when I see the governor of Nevada just issue an executive order that you can't be doing that. This seems to me to be not desperate or wild. It seems to be informed consent, the doctor and the guidance, and people probably contact you. And with all that, it just amazes me that we would rule this out of bounds at this point. I don't know if you get a sense from reporters and others when you're, I don't understand it. We're in a crisis. It's all hands on deck. This is not a wild alternative, as I understand it.
Now, I tried to say, this is the standard way that we practice medicine.
Yeah.
We frequently use drugs that are approved by the FDA for one indication or another. It's a clinical judgment. We as doctors are allowed to prescribe an approved drug for alternative indications. Now, the FDA can eventually approve it for alternative indications if the company files. But there's never been a prohibition of physicians. And I would like to keep this in that realm. I think this is a medical decision that needs to be made by a physician or a nurse practitioner, or someone who has the license to prescribe, and the patient. And I think we should keep an open mind about this. So I think, again, if this is the standard way we practice medicine, particularly when we're confronting whether it was the new disease that I confronted, hard to believe now, almost 40 years ago, HIV, or whether it's now confronting the coronavirus.
I hope you have a chance to tell that story more. I'm going to play this again and again and again. Your expertise in that and linking it to this, A, it gives us hope, the stuff you've said today, and B, it mainstreams this as a practice that's often done. I just don't think that's getting out there. So we have a minute or two left with you, and I really appreciate your time today, Doctor. Can you just take a minute, maybe to get said stuff that doesn't come up, because these are kind of scrums sometimes with the media. What would you like to tell us, other than the stuff we already know about social distancing, washing hands, and all that, something from you that you'd want to make a point of emphasis, if you would?
Well, I'd like to, and it really stems from the president's plan to slow the spread of HIV. And what I'd like to tell people, first and foremost, is that, you know, we are not defenseless. The private sector is going to develop new measures, but right now we're not defenseless. And the most powerful weapon that we have, and I mean it's a powerful weapon, is the plan that we put out to ask all Americans to really do that social distancing, to really stay home if they're sick, to really look at not frequently, you know, restaurants and bars. There's a great thing that the NBC News did where they lined up a bunch of matches and they lit them. I don't know if you saw it. And they just took out one match and the fire went out.
Right.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. So I'm thanking all Americans that have already embraced this with vigor. Those Americans that have not been quite sure whether this really fits their lifestyle, I'm asking them to really reconsider and go all in with us. This is the weapon that we have. It's a powerful weapon to stop this outbreak. If they need motivation, I ask them to sort of shut their eyes and think of their parent or grandparent, their neighbor or coworker with diabetes or HIV, or a child living with cancer. We're doing this to protect the vulnerable. Most of us, 98% of us, 99% of us that get this virus are going to recover. But the ones that will not recover are the vulnerable. And we as a nation have that opportunity to really keep the mortality rate of this infection down. The way we're going to do that may seem very simplistic, is to fully embrace and put into action the 15-day plan that we had to slow the spread of HIV. That's what I'd like to ask all Americans to do.
Doctor, thank you very, very much. Please come back whenever you can. And thanks for the great work that's being done. And I enjoyed hearing your backstory of the AIDS epidemic and what you were doing there linked to this. So thank you. Thanks for that very much.
Yep. God bless. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.